regrets, but I just bury people. Take your complaints up with the gods. Last one. Regan marked the rune in blue woad. The condensation on the window turned to frost, and he shivered. The ghost flickered, insubstantial but still identifiable as the young woman who had died bringing her stillborn child into the world. Her blood still stained the floor in the center of the warded circle, and held her to this world as surely as her grief. Wind whipped through the room, and would have scattered the salt and aconite line if Regan had not daubed the mixture onto the floor in paste. Fragments of the broken bowl scythed through the air. The iron candle holder sailed across the room. Corin dodged it again, and a shard caught the side of his brother's head, opening a cut on Regan's scalp, sending a warm rush of blood down the side of his face. The ghost raged on, her anger and grief whipping the air into a whirlwind.
I will not leave without justice for myself and my son.
You don't really have a choice about it, Regan replied silently, and stepped across the warding, careful not to smudge the lines, pulling an iron knife from his belt. He nodded to Corin, and together their voices rose as they chanted the burial rite, harmonizing out of long practice the words of the old language as familiar as their own names. The ghostly woman's image flickered again, solid enough now that Regan could see the streaks of blood on her pale arms and make out the pattern of her dress. She appeared right next to him, close enough that his shoulder bumped against her chest, and her mouth brushed his ear.
"'Twas not nature that killed me. My faithless husband let us bleed because he thought the child was not his own."
The ghost vanished, compelled to reappear in the center of the circle, standing on the blood-stained floor. Regan extended his trembling right hand and called to the magic, drawing on the old, familiar currents of power. The circle and runes flared with light. The sigils burned in red, white, blue, and black, with the salt aconite lines a golden glow between them. Corin and Regan's voices rose as the glow grew steadily brighter, and the ghost raged all the harder against the power that held her, thinning the line between this world and the next, opening a door and forcing her through it. One heartbeat she was present, in the next she was gone, though her screams continued to echo. Regan and Corin kept on chanting, finishing the rite as the circle's glow faded and the sigils dulled to mere pigment once more. Regan lowered his palm and dispelled the magic, then blew out a deep breath.
That was not supposed to happen.
Corin's scowl deepened as he looked around the room, taking in the shattered bowl and the dented candle holder. He flinched, noticing Regan's wounds now that the immediate danger had passed.
You're hurt. Regan shrugged. Not as bad as you are.
He wiped blood from his face with his sleeve, then bent to gather the ritual materials.
She confessed to you?
Corin bent to help his brother, wincing at the movement.
Yeah, and she had her reasons, Regan replied.
He looked at Corin, frowning at the blood that soaked his shirt.
We'll need to wash and bind your wounds when we get back to the shop. Let's get out of here.
They packed up their gear, but Corin did not sheathe his iron sword until they were ready to step outside. A small crowd had gathered, no doubt drawn by the shrieks and thuds and the flares of light through the cracked, dirty window.
Nothing to see here, folks, Corin said,
exhaustion clear in his voice.
We're just the undertakers.
Once they were convinced the excitement was over, the onlookers dispersed, leaving one man standing to the side. He looked up anxiously as Regan and Corin approached him.
Is it done? Is she gone?
For an instant, eagerness shone too clearly in his eyes. Then his posture shifted, shoulders.